Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're heading out towards Baton Rouge, still have that wreck between Sorrento and Baton Rouge at mile marker 199 on the I-10 westbound. Thank you, Joe. I'm Dave Cohen. Now it's Tommy Tucker on WWL.
All right, 6:09, supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, the holidays, right?
We're supposed to be. I like the way you said that.
Well,
maybe it's
because
not.
These idiots in Washington, it's all about politics, and it's, you know, I know one side thinks it's about cutting spending, the other side thinks it's about waste. Elon Musk is putting all kind of disinformation out there, which leads people to go to social media and then hit their representatives and say, you should not hit them, but contact them and say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, when they don't even know what's in the bill. I understand it's a huge spending bill, and that people need to know what's in it. However, go back and let me know whenever there has been a spending bill that has not included any pork in it. And I know it's...
and that the representatives could actually read, had right. enough time to read before they voted on it.
And the problem is, this is, you know, this didn't just get dropped out of an airplane. It happens because of continuing resolutions and no budget. And we'll talk more about it when we come back with Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Friday morning, December 20th. Happy holidays. All righty. It is currently 6:13 on this Friday morning. Temperatures, if you average them, around the lower 40s, highs of 64 today, 54 tomorrow, cooler 57 Sunday, 66 for a high on Sunday, 71 Tuesday, and then Christmas Day looking rainy, 70% chance for showers, highs of 72. Somebody texted and said, spending bill, it's a new day, the citizens slash voters are in charge now, no more pork, Trump's promise, Vivek and Elon are... citizens pitching in an improving government, get used to it, MAGA. Okay, all that sounds great, but you can package crap any way you want, and it's still crap. And I hate to introduce a distinguished man like Dr. Robert Hogan with that, professor and department chair of political science at LSU. But good morning, Dr. Hogan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
So let me just take this Elon Musk on. He's tweeting, you know, I see tweets that he sends out with the big giant spending bill and says, nobody's read it. Who can vote for this? Who can pass it? But then he tweets things that are just outright false about what's in the bill and what's not, and one specifically about billions for RFK Stadium, when that's not the case at all. It would just turn it back to D.C., but that's out of the bill now. So he's engaging in disinformation while people are thinking that it's a new day, that all of a sudden everything's going to be, there's going to be no waste in government. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but they have to look at this realistically, Professor. And can you begin to take us through the process here? You're a distinguished man. Take the anger out of me here and kind of walk us through it logically.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole process here, I mean, Elon Musk is, I mean, there's a difference between campaigning and putting things on social media and governing. And I think this is what we're seeing right now in Washington is the, you know, these things are coming into conflict right now. I mean, what has happened, of course, is that the Republicans, along with Democrats, negotiated a stopgap spending measure that would keep the government funded through March. And it's something that has been that the Democrats and Republicans have been working on for some time. The normal budget process that hasn't been used for a while and hasn't been used to any extent really since 2019, you know, is not being used. But a continuing resolution is just basically keeping the government funded, having it do what it's doing, keeping people paid, keeping the troops paid, keeping all the things going that need to be going, and deferring issues such as the debt ceiling, those sorts of things, into the new administration. And the idea was, Democrats went along with, and so did Republicans this past fall, was let's wait on all these big decisions until a new administration takes hold. And we don't know which side is going to win. So let's let their priorities then take hold. But in December, they always knew they would have to have just a continuing resolution. And everything was going on track for that to pass. And then at the last minute, Musk says, wait a second, stop. We can't do this. And then Trump chimes in. Yes, here's a new condition. You can't. We want you to increase the debt ceiling for 2 years, adding a new condition to this continuing resolution on spending. And this blew the whole thing up. The continuing resolution was dead. So the Republicans scrambled yesterday and put together a new package that included the debt ceiling being increased for 2 years. It was not acceptable by a majority. It needed 2/3 of the vote. All the Democrats but two voted against it. And more importantly, 38 Republicans voted against it. And these were the conservatives, the people that didn't want to increase the debt ceiling.
What I'm trying to understand, Professor. Who's on whose side here? So the conservative Republicans voted against the Trump plan to increase the debt ceiling. Is that accurate?
That's correct. They viewed it as a way they have used for a very long time the debt ceiling as a way of pushing back on the Democrats who wanted to spend more in many cases. And they said, no, we're not going to do this. Trump wants to do it now because he recognizes that a lot of the things in his agenda are going to require a blowing up of the debt ceiling. And so he wants that extra. He wants the ability to spend and also or basically to borrow more in order to spend and to cut taxes in the way that he wants. He doesn't want to be saddled with the blame of raising the debt ceiling. He would like that decision made during the Biden administration. So he has conservatives against him now. This is a bit of a mess. And you got to think, why would a new president coming in want to start off this way? And I think the answer to that question is this is Trump's MO all along. It is sowing chaos. And at the very last minute, a deal probably will be made. And then he will try to take credit for it, even though he may not always get in the end what he ultimately wants. It's difficult keeping up with you know what strategy he's using, but I think there is some method to the madness.
See, part of what bothers me about Elon Musk and the social media and the people that, first of all, the stuff that he put out a handful of things that are just patently false. After
Correct.
Sending out a tweet that nobody read the bill. Well, I don't know if he read it or didn't read it or was just making stuff up. Either way, but he's on both sides of the fence there. The other thing is that people automatically assign their trust to Elon Musk and believe that he's working in the best interest of the country. Likewise, Vivek Ramaswamy, and I got to believe mm-hmm. that both, at least just in my opinion, are working for what's best for Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and not necessarily the country because they weren't elected or took any oath to do anything. Am I missing something, Professor, or not?
No, you're right. But they do promote an ideology that is very popular, and it sounds it's something that's very enticing, right? If we just cut the government, right, this whole idea of creating, you know, the Doge agency here, that there's just so much inefficiency in government. It's all a waste of money. And if we just went in and cut things, and for them, I think that they would say, it doesn't matter if the government shuts down. Isn't that a good thing? It's not doing anything anyway. And again, that gets back to what I said initially. I mean, that is an ideology. It's a bumper sticker. It's a campaign slogan. But it's not governing. And if you actually look to see what government does on a daily basis, keeping your food safe, keeping your water clean, all these things that government does, the federal government does, do you really want to stop those things? And do you really think that they are wasteful? I think there's an ideology that believes that. But I think in practical terms, it's not a society I think most people would want to live in, and even most Republicans when they stop to think about it.
I think what we're talking about here is campaigning as opposed to governing, like you just said, with bumper stickers. And also, populism at its worst form, because it's not even by an elected official. It's just by people that have never been involved in government before that think they know, but they don't. And for people that want to know, we're like, OK, well, who cares if the government shuts down? Well, guess what? During one of the recent government shutdowns, more than 42,000 immigration hearings were canceled. So you can't be on both sides of this. You have to understand that if you think we have a huge problem in this country with immigration and that something needs to be done, well, these things need to be funded. And if you shut the government down, those kinds of things could go away. So, and the other thing, Professor, when we come back, we'll talk about the politics of all of this and Mike Johnson and his speakership and who's looking to do what here. And if y'all have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. More with Dr. Robert Hogan, chair of the Department of Political Science at LSU right now, 622 Traffic, WWL. It is currently 627 here at WWL, talking to Dr. Robert Hogan, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. And again, some text here from just like two numbers, people that are passionate in the MAGA movement and everything else, and that's fine. But somebody texted in and said, do you question Musk's intelligence or his ability to figure this out? If so, then you are lost. And that, in a way, encapsulates what I'm feeling, Professor, because what I'm seeing is, okay, I understand people loving President Trump, and he was the president before, and he knows how government works. And if you want to just agree with everything he says and attach yourself at the hip, that's fine. But when it comes to Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, they don't really have any experience in government. So when somebody texted in and said, do you question his intelligence or his ability to figure this out? Well, I don't know anything about his intelligence. I do question his motives. And I know that he tweeted out some falsehoods about this bill that were not in there and had some results as a result of it, or some reaction as a result of it. So I don't know. Take me through this. Are people just kind of saying, OK, well, if I like President Trump, so therefore, if President Trump aligns himself with these people, then I'm aligning myself with them as well?
Well, I mean, I think that Trump does share their ideology and perspective on governing. I mean, I think people like Elon Musk and even Donald Trump come from a world that is a corporate world in which they are at the top. They are the decider. That is not the way democratic governing works. It means that you are part of a process. You have to negotiate. You don't always get what you want. What may seem obvious to you and efficient, fair, and smart may not be. Actually, when you learn more about some aspect of public policy or some aspect of the conditions that people face when you're in their shoes. And democracy is about give and take. It is about understanding other people's perspectives on things. And that is a very different worldview than what it looks like, I think, from the top of corporate leadership. And you don't just snap your fingers and things get done. We saw, I mean, Musk did that at that what used to be called Twitter, now X. And there have been some major changes in that organization. A lot of people would say are not necessarily good ones. And so the product that you produce from this sort of top-down approach may not necessarily be the best kind. You know, that kind of perspective, I would argue, is very much authoritarian in its outlook. And we could go that route. And I think there's a segment of the American public that would like that. They think things are so messed up that you need a strong authoritarian leader who will come in and say, hey, this is the way things are going to be. There are a lot of other people, and I would like to think probably a lot more, who think, well, you know, democracy has worked pretty well. It's not always been perfect, certainly in the United States for the several hundred years it's existed. But it's the way we have developed through these institutions that have been here for a very long time, and processes that have developed over time, show some respect for them and utilize those to get things done, not this outside authoritarianism.
Thank you, Professor. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We don't talk to you. Professor Robert Hogan, chair of the Department of Political Science at LSU. We come back. We can talk to Councilman Freddie King, 6:31 time now, WWL First News.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Dave Cohen. Back to Tommy Tucker now on WWL.
All right, 6:39, 21 till 7. And I'm getting some texts here from about three people that are, you know, I think, look, if you want to oversimplify things, tell yourself a fairy tale, everything's going to be great. That's fine. But I think you got to look at. Let me just leave it at this. When it comes to before I let this thing go and we talk to Freddie King, when it comes to the debt ceiling negotiations and the government shutdown and everything, the conservatives in Congress voted against President Trump's plan to increase the debt ceiling. So before you tell yourself a fairy tale and think that there's an easy answer to all of this, and it's quite simple, and somebody texted and said they wanted a regular American like Trump running the government. Well, first of all, would you want me or Dave Cohen, no disrespect, or any, quote, regular American running the government? Because I got to tell you, you don't want me in the White House. You don't want me because I don't know enough. Do you? Dave?
No, I would never, ever, ever want to be the president of
the United States. Do you think you're qualified to be president?
If I were president, I'd have to do a whole lot more studying.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't think a regular American would make a good president. I also don't think President Trump is a regular American. I mean, you know, I think people sometimes tell themselves this fantasy of, you know, it'd be a lot better if we just had Joe down the block running the government. Really? Because he didn't do too well with the neighborhood association. We'll take a break, pick it up with Freddie King. We come back, WWL. 6:46 now, 14 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Chilly this morning. We're about the 40s if you average a temperature. I'd say lower to mid-40s if you average the temperatures throughout the area. And it cools off even more tomorrow and Thursday and Saturday. Tomorrow and Sunday, I'll get it straight. Unfortunately, Christmas Day looking a little bit rainy and a little bit warm. 70% chance for showers, highs in the lower 70s. But it's all about family and friends and the religious significance and so forth. So don't let the weather distract you. Freddie King joins us now, Councilman District C. Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Let's talk about, before we run out of time, I want to talk about the event that you have coming up for kids, and then we'll talk about some other stuff.
Sure. So tell me, what we have tomorrow at Rock of Ages Baptist Church on Franklin Avenue. We're trying to do things different to get our kids off the street, to get them engaged in different things. So we're going to have a PlayStation tournament tomorrow morning starting at 10 o'clock. What I'm most excited about tomorrow is we're going to have a gun exchange for PlayStations. Things are changing in today's world. Video games are becoming more a part of the everyday world. Colleges are giving scholarships to attend their schools to play video games. Kids are turning pro as early as 12 years old playing video games. So we're encouraging those parents, we're encouraging those youth with guns, handguns that work. Come on by tomorrow, Rock of Ages Baptist Church on Franklin Avenue, starting at 4 o'clock. Give us a gun. No questions, no IDs. You get a brand new PlayStation 5.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on in the French Quarter and other areas of your district.
Sure. So I know a lot of people are still kind of buzzing about that shooting. And I know you want to kind of get into that about the ankle monitor. Or you want to wait with that a little bit?
No, we can get into it.
Okay, go into that. So I think, Tommy, you can't leave common sense at the front door when you're ruling, when you're a judge. The person who did the shooting, who was involved in the shooting, had the ankle monitor, and they had over 40 violations while on the ankle monitoring system. And I just think that is way too many. We all want to see people change their lives and get second chances, but the question becomes, when is enough? When is too many chances enough? And I think, first of all, certain crimes, I would not put somebody on ankle monitor. Crimes of violence, crimes involving domestic violence, I personally would put them on an ankle monitor. But once you're on an ankle monitor, you're already on probation, and you run afoul of the law and you slip up and violate that ankle monitor agreement, then I think you should be brought into jail, brought into court right away, take the ankle monitor off and put in jail.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple. So how do you make judges more accountable?
Well, I think one thing we can do is have one of our state legislators maybe draft an ordinance or draft a statute that says after so many ankle monitor violations, and that person, that judge, is forced to call in that defendant and find out what's going on and possibly take the ankle monitor off or put them in jail. Or maybe another solution is again, if you have a act of violence, a crime and maybe sexual in nature or domestic violence, that you're not even eligible for ankle monitor supervision. I believe that that's a privilege, being on an ankle monitor. And if you don't cooperate while enjoying that privilege, and that privilege should be taken away, it's not a right to be on ankle monitor supervision.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll get back talking to Councilman Freddie King. We'll talk about Algiers as well when we come back, and about crime. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:55 now, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. Freddie, somebody texted a couple of different times here about a 3 strikes, you're out law. Do you know anything going on with that, or what the state says about that, or the city? And they're wondering, I guess, if you have three felonies, you go to jail. What's the situation there? You're an attorney. Tell me.
I'm familiar with that on a national level, Tommy. I don't want to say that I'm familiar with that on a local or state level, but I have heard about that on a national level. Something happened years ago.
All right. Somebody wants to know about the gun-free zone. How's that working out in the French Quarter? I don't know what there's. I don't know if they're being serious about that or being sarcastic. We can also talk about concealed carry and carve-outs and so forth. But the bottom line is, if somebody wants to carry a gun, and that's got nothing to do with you or District C or the city or the French Quarter, it's the country. If somebody wants to carry a gun and get a gun and carry a gun, really, there's nothing you can do to stop them, is there? Unless you put them through a metal detector.
If someone wants to carry a gun and just do something wrong, there is very little that can be done to stop somebody who has bad intentions. I would love to see the French Quarter, other parts of District C that are densely populated, like Meredith, have a gun-free carve-out. I know that our state legislators are going to go back to the governor and try to have that carve-out zone in the French Quarter. We tried it in the city council with making the 8th District Police Station an educational training facility. That wasn't successful. But I think it is very, very important that the French Quarter is a gun-free zone. Not so much not being able to carry guns. We don't want that gun. You don't want guns mixed with alcohol and other vices in the French Quarter. But it gives the police an opportunity to make lawful stops and to find illegal drugs, illegal guns. I know last year during Mardi Gras, NOPD confiscated over 100 guns during the Mardi Gras weekend that were legally confiscated because individuals were illegally carrying the guns. They were felon in possession of a firearm. So you just take one tool out of the tool chest of NOPD and other law enforcement agents when you don't allow them to be able to conduct those lawful stops. While we're in the French Quarter, Tom, I just want to briefly touch on the trash contract. We signed the emergency trash contract yesterday in the city council. With politics aside, disagreements aside, I think it was time to move forward, representing the French Quarter, understanding how important that area is to the entire city, to the entire state. I thought it was very important we move forward, execute the emergency contract with IV Waste. So come Monday, December 23rd, trash service will not be interrupted. Trash will still be picked up right in time for the holidays, right in time for the Super Bowl, for Mardi Gras. And just every day living in the French Quarter requires that trash picked up without any interruption.
Freddie, let me pick your brain for 2 minutes. Freddie, a Shaw graduate. Congratulations to our Shaw Eagles, right? State champions. But let me pick your brain for a minute.
Absolutely.
You're a successful attorney. You have a practice, so you're a businessman, right? That's a business that you're running. You're also an elected official.
Sure.
Leave Democrats out of it. Leave Republicans out of it. Leave liberals out of it. Leave conservatives out of it. Just talk, if you will, about the differences between running a business and running a government.
Well, running a government, you have more people that rely on you. Of course, you have, look at the District C, we have over 70,000 residents, or roughly 70,000 residents, that rely on my leadership. If I make a mistake, if my council makes a mistake, if my colleagues make a mistake, we're affecting many more people than just Freddie King, who runs the King Law Firm. I think the stakes are a lot higher when you're running a business. I try to approach both my business, my private business, and the city council with the utmost respect, with the utmost professionalism, because no matter big or small, you want to put your best foot forward. I think the main difference is, Tommy, you have so many more people depending on you, relying on you, and the stakes are higher, and there's less room for error when you're running government.
And there's a lot of more varied interest, and as a result, the complexity increases exponentially. Does it not?
Sure. There are a lot of interests. I tell people, especially on the city council, when you tell one group yes, you're inherently telling another group no. So you're going to make someone upset. You're going to make a group upset. No matter you think you're doing the right thing and all of the numbers say that you're doing the right thing, there are going to be people who disagree. And you're going
Thank
to
you,
make
Freddie. Thank you, sir. Happy Merry Christmas.